Hi, everybody. I'm Matt, the creative director at Innsbank and one of the hosts of the Brainstorm podcast, as well as the producer here at Real Bank Media. What you're about to hear is a conversation under a brand that we call Insights. It's a little bit different than the Brainstorm podcast, so less about entrepreneurship and business management and business growth and that kind of thing. It's more about not necessarily clients and customers of Innsbank, but we like to use the Insights conversations to shed some light on some important business or community topics and maybe even get some hot takes on some news and current events. Who knows? So this conversation features the CEO of the Girl Scouts of Middle Tennessee. And enjoy.
Hi, I'm Feeney. This is Insights. And today we're here with
Danielle Barnes, CEO and president of Girl Scouts of Middle Tennessee.
So I have been a Girl Scout. And I will always be a Girl Scout.
You will always be a Girl Scout.
Yes. Once a Girl Scout, always a Girl Scout.
That's right.
But for those who have not experienced it, can you please explain what the Girl Scouts are other than just the amazing cookies?
Yeah, this is an exciting time to be a Girl Scout. And I'm not going to lie. So we are an organization that was formed over 100 years ago. And so when you think about being formed in 1912, our founder, Juliet Gordon Lowe, had this vision to be able to give our young girls the opportunity to be powerful, to succeed, to have courage and confidence and character in a way that just was not, truthfully, it wasn't something they could do back in those days. And so fast forward all these years later, what is Girl Scouts? It's a great question. It's actually a very exciting time to be in Girl Scouts because Girl Scouts now is more important than ever. What we know is that so many of our girls are facing mental health challenges. Mm. What we know is that so many of our girls need an outlet where they can go and they can really strip off all of the identifiers, where they can take away where they're from, they can take away their neighborhood, they can take away their school. And for just that moment in time, they get built from the inside. Mm. They get to have experiences and activities and curriculum that really helps bolster who they are at their very core. And so when they begin to start putting those identifiers back on, those girls have had experiences that have made them so strong. So we're STEM focused. We also are 100% girl led. So if you think about that, outside of any other organization, a girl can truly choose what she wants to be. If she wants to have a STEM curricula, she can. I have an AI badge for that. If she wants to go and do camp and be outdoors and take advantage of all of our many outdoor programming, she absolutely can. Mm-hmm. And what we know is that it's a space for them to explore, to try new things, to learn new things, and to really just get a good handle on who they want to be as a leader.
That's awesome. Couldn't have said it better myself. That's fascinating. So, I mean, can you explain what your position is for the Girl Scouts and kind of just delve into that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm super excited because I've been in this role as CEO and president for just over, it's been about 14 months now, 15 months, not that I'm counting, but this is by far, when I tell you this is the most exciting time to be a part of this organization, it really is for me. So as president and CEO of the Girl Scouts of Middle Tennessee, we cover 39 counties. So we go from basically from Crossville to Jackson, straight up and down. We are the only council that is 100% Tennessee focused. We serve just under 11,000 girls. So let's get that perspective. With just under 6,000 volunteers. And we could not do our work without the support and encouragement of our volunteers. Part of my day to day is, you know, making sure we have the funds to operate, making sure our programs are still very relevant, continuing to encourage volunteers to support and volunteer and support our girls. So it's been, you know, I would say that no 2 days are the same, but it is incredibly fun.
That's fascinating. So you work with a team of how big to help with facilitating all of this?
Yeah, we have a team of just under 40 people.
Oh, wow.
So we are very small and very
lean and mean.
That's right. Lean and mean. During the summer, obviously, with our two camps, we have one camp in Ashland City and another one just north in Millersville. We do expand with staff to be able to operate those camps during the summer. But no, we are very dependent on our volunteers to make our programs a success.
That's awesome. Okay. So this is a, as a CEO of, you know, a 11,000 girls that you're reaching, can you explain to those that are unaware, on a national level, there's obviously a national presence of the Girl Scouts. There's a worldwide presence of the Girl Scouts. What does that look like in relation for, you know, are you helping with those other organizations? And like, is there any communication between the different organizations? So I'm just curious what that looks like.
So it's a little bit of a, it was an odd structure for me to first, when I first came in, to really get my hands on it. So the way that I always explain it, and it'll probably get me in trouble, but it's a franchise model, if you will. So our National Girl Scouts of USA is our parent organization in terms of, if you think of it as a business, they certainly have the ability to set all of our branding, require certain program requirements, set the Girl Scout law, all of the things that we have to abide by as an organization to represent the name of Girl Scouts is handled at that national level.
Got it.
We, however, are an independent 501c3 just here in our internal 39 counties. So we do have the ability to, we have the great flexibility to do basically everything else and operate however we need to operate for the success of our girls in our area.
That's awesome. So what was your history before? What led you to work with the Girl Scouts?
Oh, gosh. It's a you want the long version or you want the short version?
Whenever we have plenty of time.
I'll give you the medium version.
Okay.
I am one of those kids. I grew up as I tell people, I was not a good Girl Scout, actually, to be fair. I made it to Brownies and I think selling cookies took me out. I think that was when I threw up my hands and said, this is not for me. And now here I am, life full circle. But I knew I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And so went to law school and went through the whole, you know, had my whole life planned as some people do. And hit a point in my career where I just decided that, you know, I didn't want to be a partner anymore, but I didn't know what else I wanted to do. And I went to work for the state of Tennessee. At the Department of Human Services. And I fell in love with the mission and being able to really live out my passion and my purpose connected with my work. And that was the first time I had ever really, I mean, you know it, but until you feel it, you don't really know that those two interact the way that they do. And I thought I was only going to stay at the department for 4 months. I ended up staying for 16 years. I tell people, never invite me to your barbecue because clearly I never leave. I'm the last person to leave. I served through 3 administrations and as the commissioner for human services directly under Governor Haslam and Governor Lee.
Okay.
There is a lifespan of a commissioner. I clearly surpassed it. I was there way longer than I was supposed to have been and decided to go back into private practice. And was working and consulting and had a fabulous role, got to do human services consulting across the entire nation.
Oh, wow.
However, I felt this strange tug back in my own internal self of being far removed from the mission again. And I didn't appreciate how much that was actually going to impact me. And so you do a project, then you kind of walk away. So I remember telling my husband at the time, and I said, you know, if the right nonprofit comes along, I'd consider it. And lo and behold, Girl Scouts found me. And I've always been a champion of women and children. Mm-hmm. And so when they called and they said, would you be interested? I immediately thought that this is absolutely where I'm supposed to be at this moment in time.
Wow. Well, they found you.
They found me. Yeah. So, yes.
I love that. That's awesome. With the Girl Scouts, you know, what was something that I'm sure, you know, being a Girl Scout was great and you experienced it, but what was something that they approached you with that attracted you to this position that was like, oh, wow, that's it for me?
I don't know. It's so much that they approached it. Mm. I mean, it's just one, it's a stable organization with a stable reputation. So that in and of itself, I mean, it's an organization designed to produce women leaders. Who could possibly not want to be an organization where everything you do in the morning, you're waking up and you're focused on making the next generation better? Like that in and of
That's
itself
awesome.
Was, you know, sign me up.
Yes.
But when I I've said this so many times. Again, it's just an exciting time because we are, and you know, I hate to say it, we're not my grandmother's Girl Scouts anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Our girls are very, very different. They have different needs. They have different struggles, and they have different issues.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about what we can be, that's what really gets me excited. Mm-hmm. Yes, all of the tradition and all of the things that have made us successful for well over 100 years. But now, how do we take it to that next level? Mm-hmm. How do we really feed into girls in a way that they need to be fed into in this 2025 world is part of what really excites me every day.
Yeah, I think the reason it's been able to stick around for so long is being able to adapt to the times and be innovative in the way that you're, you know, you're approaching it. Like you mentioned, having STEM, and that's fascinating. So I know a lot of organizations have kind of been passed along by the wayside, not necessarily that help with women leaders, but just they haven't been able to adapt with the times. And, you know, like you said, it's an exciting time. I'm sure it's a little terrifying as well.
It's a little terrifying.
Change is scary.
But if you're not terrified, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And that's just sort of the mantra that I live by. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not scared when you get up and you start what you're doing, is it worth doing?
Yeah.
And so I do get a little bit of my own internal revving up from that challenge.
Yeah. I bet. I'm sure it's emotional work, though. Is there a anecdote or something that just really stuck out to you?
Yeah, just, well, I have many
I'm sure
that I can share. And, you know, as much as I would like to say that my job is 24/7 with the girls, it's not. It is, you know, it's running a business.
Yeah.
But the highlight, I get to do a part of my job that a lot of people don't get to do, and that is spend time with our girls. Yesterday, I was with a troop, and they were packing. So it's sort of a two-pronged story because it involves both the troop and the young lady. They were packing boxes, food boxes. And during the initial part of their cookie sale, they had made the decision that they were going to sell care boxes. So everybody that comes up to a booth that doesn't actually want a box of cookies will give a donation. And so instead of taking the cookies, they put them aside for what was their service project. And what they identified as their service project was to prepare these food boxes for the Martha O'Brien Center. And Martha O'Brien is one of the largest social services communities inside the city of Nashville. They have, I have no idea how many residents, but they have been a phenomenal resource for the city and the community in terms of providing wraparound services and really being able to break generational cycles of poverty. Mm. And so the fact that these young girls, 7, 8, 9, chose this particular program as a place to prepare these food boxes for, tells you how deeply committed they are to their own community and their own community success. So their care boxes, not only did they pack the food boxes, but each box has a box of Girl Scout cookies, right?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
So that's a beautiful little bit of tidbit. But one of the girls in that particular troop, I spent some time talking to her mother, and her mother shared with me that she had a form of mutism, and where she just didn't really, she was at home, she would talk, but in different spaces, very uncomfortable talking, she would spend her time with Girl Scouts and sort of stay in the corner. And the more she kept attending the activities, the more she kept interacting with these girls, the more she began to speak. And when she goes to these events and anytime she's around her troop, she is free flow. Like, you have absolutely no
clue that
anything has ever happened to this young lady or that there was any sort of hesitation in her ability to speak. And it's beautiful to see. And two, her mother absolutely says she credits Girl Scouts for giving her daughter that space to be herself, to try things that she wouldn't try at school. Yeah. And to be surrounded by support that really allowed her to break out of her shell.
Oh, I bet that would make me cry seeing that. That's awesome.
Don't cry, Feeny.
I know. No, that's awesome. Wow.
I have a thought,
And Feeney, it's coming from all of the recent stuff we're doing with LAW.
Yeah.
The Lawyers Association of Women. And we interviewed Sissy Daughtry.
Of course.
And about a half a dozen of her colleagues. And boy, did they have some war stories.
Yeah.
About being women in law.
Mm-hmm. You didn't invite me to that panel. I have more stories.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, that was a like an oral history project that we did with LAW, and I'm just I would wager that you have some stories about being a woman in a traditionally male dominated field of work.
Yeah,
and then finding yourself boomeranging back to the Girl Scouts and forming like I bet I'm sensing some overlap there. Am I wrong?
Not at all. I mean, so here's the thing is I would say I'm old enough, but I'm not that old to tell some of these stories. I do. I sit back sometimes and I think, gosh, is this my grandmother telling this story? But I remember being in the practice of law and sitting on my floor preparing for a deposition and, you know, associates get all the grunt work. So you had all of this stuff out and I had a partner come in and he just looked at me. You know, it's 5 o'clock, so cigars and whiskey immediately start flowing. And he said, I don't see how anybody could want to start a family and be a partner. And of course, at the time, I didn't think anything about it because I didn't have a family. But it was my first sort of like, this is going to be very different. Mm. A big part of my career. Now, I could give you more war stories. I promise to redact the names because let's be honest, I'm a Black woman that's working, that spent the majority of her career working inside of a very political environment. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, so I spent a lot of my career lobbying initially and partners that would say, oh, you're going to see that senator, but you're wearing pants. And I was like, of course I'm wearing pants. And he said, well, I just need you to lower your blouse a little then. Because we really need his vote.
Wow.
So again, when I tell these stories, it's not that far removed.
Yeah.
I had a representative look me dead in my face and ask me, he's like, so clearly you're not Black. What are you? And I'm like, I am trying to get a vote on this bill is what I am trying to do, right? Like, trying to be very, he's like, you're clearly a Melungeon. You have to be a Melungeon. And I was like, first of all, I haven't lived in this part of the world long enough to know what that is. So I need to go research that before I figure out whether or not I should be offended or not. to find out I didn't have to be offended. So it's fine. It makes good sense. But it's just the freedom upon which people say things to especially women in certain positions. It's astounding to me that there's just this level of I can say anything and get away with it and be very comfortable with it and nobody will even blink an eye. Mm-hmm. So full circle, you know, my life's mission is to help build up other women who are young in their careers or new in their careers or even seasoned in their careers that have these experiences.
Yep.
And to really pour into our young women, our leaders, our next generation, to let them know that they have more power than they will ever give themselves credit for.
Absolutely.
And what's so impactful to me is people poured into me. And for me, it's my responsibility to pour into them. And it's part of what drives me every day.
Yeah. The fact that you have had that experience and you can now pass that on to the next generation, I think is incredibly valuable. So thank you for everything that you do. I think the Girl Scouts definitely helped me. I mean, I'm the marketing director at a bank. I never thought that would happen. The bank is, you know, it's predominantly male and it's nice to know that like they support all the women here. So, yeah.
And even more important as we are right at the start of Women's History Month.
Exactly.
And to
yes.
really just pay homage to those that came before us mm-hmm. and recognize that there are a million more coming behind us.
Yes.
And so when we talk about Girl Scouts, we talk about empowering girls and giving them the ability to change the world.
Yeah.
That's not just a mantra. That really is very true. Now, their worlds, we're not telling them what that is,
mm-hmm.
right? We tell them they could be a leader. Some people say, well, I don't want to be a CEO. I don't want to be the president of a bank. You don't have to be.
Yeah.
But every single one of those girls that have come through Girl Scouts is a leader, a marketing director for a major bank.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to pay that forward.
Yes, definitely. No, that's fascinating. I think, just being among the Girl Scouts, I was a brownie, then I was a Girl Scout. I don't think I've ever made it to the blue uniforms. I was the green
Daisy,
uniform.
Daisy is first, then brownie.
Yes. Daisy, then brownie, and then Girl Scouts. But I did Girl Scouts in California, so it's a little bit different, I'm sure, than Tennessee. So like one of the badges was snorkeling.
And that sounds like a fun badge.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. But I'm sure there's some fun ones here, but I'm sure. So you guys just add new badges with the different programs that you're adding? And
oh, absolutely.
That's so exciting.
And we have amazing, amazing partners. One of the beautiful things about Tennessee. Now, I don't know that we have a snorkeling badge because we're sadly 100% landlocked in the mm-hmm. state. But we have amazing partners who give our girls so many opportunities. I'll give you an example. We have the Predators just did a Predators Day.
Oh, cool.
And the girls got to design their own, I guess they're called sticks, and stay for a game and learn about different careers inside of the hockey world, which mm-hmm. is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about hockey growing mm-hmm. up. I'm a Southern girl. We didn't play hockey. But, you know, we have a very similar program with the Nashville Tennessee Titans. I was like, I'll get it there eventually. Yeah. The Tennessee Titans, who did a very similar program where they brought them in, let them have backstage tours of the stadium, wow. showed them, allowed them to talk to different individuals who are involved in different aspects of that career. Nashville Symphony is another great one. They are doing a program coming up I think it's the Lion King on stage.
Oh, wow, cool.
I mean, so for the programs that we don't have a very specific curricula for, mm-hmm. our program partners have been phenomenal at leaning in and filling that gap to give different experiences to our girls.
Just the exposure to
That's right.
all those amazing different, you know, you're not going to learn that in a classroom anywhere. So that I think that's so valuable. So you talk about partners, but I mean, what is, if you're looking to grow the Girl Scouts, what is something that you're asking of, you know, to share the knowledge of the Girl Scouts? What are you looking for when you're looking for a partner?
Yeah. So one, I think it's really critical that people know we are not just cookies, mm-hmm. right? We are intentional programming. We are there to fill, exactly as you said, fill those gaps. Somewhere between school and their future. We actually consider ourselves, I know this is going to be shocking, but we are workforce development. If we're not getting to these girls early, mm-hmm. Then we've missed an opportunity. And so when we talk about all of those things, what we ask of our partners is to lean in with different ideas, different creativity, and where they can. So one example could be we're doing a big program, our big summit is in the fall, and we are setting it up with different corporate partners all across, almost like a career fair, but not a school boring career fair kind of, right? Like,
yeah.
I hate to say that, but not like a booth and here you get to learn about banking. But here, you know, maybe you get to learn about the exciting things about banking. Mm-hmm. And if there's something particular you didn't know that you could do, like be in marketing and banking, like who knew that?
I didn't until about a year ago. So,
but those are the kind of things that we want people to lean in. We have a construction partner who is really very intentional about bringing in a lot of new women into the industry. And we've said, I bet our girls haven't even had that kind of exposure to those kind of opportunities. And so they'll be a partner at those things. If you're unable to just do a signature event for us, we ask that you give us your leaders, your time, mm-hmm. And just give us the opportunity to give that exposure to the girls.
Wow. I know when we were speaking with Scout, she mentioned, you know, the thing that Girl Scouts is looking for mainly is partners and volunteers and helping progress the mission. So
that's right.
That's awesome. As an individual, if you're not tied to a corporation, what does a volunteer do exactly?
Oh my gosh, that's the best question of them all, right? We need more volunteers. I can't stress that enough. So if you are willing, if you are a person that, you know, you're willing to spend 3 or 4 hours a month doing Girl Scout trooping, we would love to have you. Because the reality is we have about 1,000 girls that don't, have not been placed in a troop that we're not able to serve because we just don't have enough volunteers to serve them. That's a reality. And in the sense that the world has changed, that is one thing that where we have found ourselves to be a bit disadvantaged. People are more active. They're more cautious with how they spend their time. And so we are looking for those actual troop leaders or co-troop leaders. That would be our number one ask. Not everyone has that kind of commitment and time. So we do have a variety of different opportunities that are available. You can go to our website, click volunteer opportunities. You can teach a class. You can serve as a guest speaker. You can, if you're an outdoorsy person and you want to help us come clean up our camps, we welcome you to do that. We do have people who do who serve as our facilitators and just teach like maybe once a month one of our programs, if that's something you're interested in. So if there's anything, the realm of possibility is absolutely yours. So
that's awesome. Yeah, you said there's 6,000 volunteers for
just yes.
Okay, and there's almost double that in
that's right.
girls that you serve. Okay. But you could serve more if you had more volunteers. More.
And our goal is to get that number back up to pre-COVID levels, which is well over 15,000.
Oh, wow.
So okay. So we've got some work to do. We're a little stressed about it, but it can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with platforms like this, you know, get the word out there.
Get the word.
Yeah. Spread the word.
I don't want to gloss over the fact that Scout weaseled her way out of being in this recording.
I know, her name is Scout.
We were really looking forward to having her. Shout out to Scout, because she self-identified as being like terrible. And we were like, absolutely not. You're fantastic.
Like, I'm on camera. I was like,
yeah, we were like, you need to be in on this. So when she didn't show up today, I was like, ooh, she wiggled out of it.
I think I'm going to do is I failed to bring you all your goodie bag. I accidentally left it at the office. So I am going to send Scout back with your goodie bag.
Okay.
Specifically, so that can happen.
Perfect.
But when I met Scout, I was looking for, I was doing this as huge hirings. I had posted for this job like 4 times and I couldn't find just the right person. And a friend of mine said, oh, I just met someone who's new to town. Her name is Scout. I said, you're kidding me. So I didn't even really look at her resume before. I was like, yes,
she's hired.
She's hired. I don't even really care what she does. But
she could be in accounting for all we care and we'd hire her anyway.
Her name is Scout. She should be here.
Whatever she might not know how to do, like, we'll get her up to speed. Her name
we'll
is
Scout. We'll teach her in every aspect of
this
the resume.
Was meant to be.
That's awesome. So do you guys all work, if there's 40 people, do you all work in one location or is everyone kind of spread out throughout the counties?
We're a little bit of both. Okay. So our main office, our headquarters, if you will, is in Green Hills. So just right up the road. And that's where the bulk of our staff is going to be. But again, we have we do have people who are located and run our 2 camps. So I have people at both of those sites. And then, of course, we have 5 regional offices, only 2 which are physical offices. The others are what I call mobile offices. And so we've got an actual physical office in Clarksville and another one in Murfreesboro.
Okay.
And then the rest of our membership team is circulating out and about trying to meet the needs of our troops.
That's amazing. Wow. Well, 40 people. That's, I mean.
40 people. We could use more.
Perfect. If you're looking for a job.
We could always use more.
How do you post on like LinkedIn for a job at the Girl Scouts?
We are have been very good partners with the Center for Nonprofit Management.
Okay.
They've been a great supporter, and that's tends to be where most people end up going. Mm-hmm. We've posted on LinkedIn, of course, and of course we've posted on Indeed. But if you think about running the gambit of the different kinds of jobs, I've got quite literally everything from I need, you know, bulk commercial kitchen staff to Scout as our chief of strategy and transformation and quite literally everything in between.
Wow.
And so it's it runs quite the gamut.
Yeah, more than just cookies, people.
It is more than just cookies.
So I know this is kind of off topic, but well, not really. But okay, so you mentioned that the Girl Scouts is franchised. When there's, say, a partnership of, right now there's a Girl Scouts partnership with Wendy's, and my marketing brain is like, wow, that's genius. But that's at a corporate level. So what does a partnership like that look like? Does that affect the local chapters? How does that kind of work?
Yeah, Wendy's is a great example. That's a new partnership. Obviously, the national office has all of the responsibility for any licensing that they do. And part of that agreement was that they entered into a licensing agreement to do the limited edition Thin Mint Frosty, which I actually haven't had. And now that I'm really close to a Wendy's,
there's one next door.
I might stop by. It's not normally a place that I stop.
So is that just the Nashville Wendy's that are
doing it? It's all across the country.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's all across the country. We actually had no
the corporate
inside
level.
That deal. Okay. That's correct. As all of the franchising would be, mm-hmm. or all of the licensing would be. The one good thing about the Wendy's deal is that part of that structure was to allow our troops to set up booths outside of the Wendy's. So they are so typically our booth partners have been major big box stores. Mm. Nashville, for example, we have Walmart and we've got Kroger have been, right? Those are most of the places that you tend to see them. And so this year, for the first time, you've seen troops in front of a Wendy's. So they go in, they get their Frosty, they come out, they buy a box of Thin Mint.
Wow. Well, that's good marketing. I love that. No, that's, I saw the commercial and I was like, oh, well, that's really interesting. I've got to ask her about that.
Yes.
Now I have to get one because they're next door.
I've never had one. So I've got to figure it out.
Well, what's your favorite cookie?
I think it depends on, and people ask me this all the time, I think it depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
That's fair. That's
and it depends on how good I'm being. I mean, quite literally, I know that I can have 4 Thin Mints for the equation of 2 Samoas. Yes, like, fact that I know this is a problem in and of itself. But it just depends on.
There are worse problems to have.
And I actually have the chair of our board host a lovely cookie and wine pairing. This is the first time I've attended. And I have a whole new appreciation for the different pairings of cookies and wine.
Fascinated to see the pairing list. Maybe that's the next episode, wine and Girl Scout that's cookies.
I wouldn't care if that was entirely made up. If it was just like, this cookie pairs with this wine. I'd be like, I'm in.
Okay.
I have just enough of appreciation, not a connoisseur. So she could have been pulling my entire leg. I don't know. But it worked for me.
Yeah. Well, sign me up. It's Friday, after all.
Speaking of more than cookies.
Yep.
Right before we started recording and sort of when we first started recording, we were talking about some of the services that the Girl Scouts provides. Can you talk a little bit more specifically about some of the specific areas of growth and education that the Girl Scouts offers that is, air quotes, beyond the cookies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always use the phrase, we're so much more than cookies, because I think people, to be honest, who haven't kept up with the trajectory of the organization still see the young ladies that are selling cookies and they think, oh, that's cute. Let me buy a box of cookies. And in reality, what people, I think, sometimes forget is that for every box of cookies that you buy, you are quite literally providing an opportunity that the girls may not have had. Mm. So before they even start selling their cookies, and I'm pivoting on this question a bit, but they start with a goal. How much do they want to sell? Mm-hmm. And what are they going to do with those funds? And then they have to create a plan to be able to sell that amount. So some of them are the people who come door to door that sell them. And then, of course, the cookie booths that you see. Why that's so important is because that question of what do they want to do with their funds will lead you to some amazing answers. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we talked about the partnership with the girls who said, we want to make this donation to the Martha O'Brien Center. Fantastic. We've had younger troops who have wanted to go and spend the night with the sharks. I didn't know that was a thing. I'm terrified about that. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but they spent the night at the aquarium underneath their shark tent. And they knew. So the point is that they had a goal. And part of what they are trying to do is not just peddle delicious cookies.
That's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning, that's sort of the middle, right? Yeah. And they have to know how to market, and they have to know
the means to.
That's right. Yeah. And so I think it's really important that people understand that it's not just the cookies. It really is really helping them increase their programming. Mm-hmm. I think the other part of that is I think people don't necessarily have an appreciation for our older girl population. Usually, you know, when people think of Girl Scouts, they think of our younger girls. Mm-hmm. And so we have tried to be very intentional about building older girl programming. And so we talk about it being workforce development, but we also talk about it being much more intentional leadership development as well. And so this year, we're kicking off our signature event or our signature program, our Teen Leadership Council. And I'm super excited about it. It is a 10-month program, intense leadership program, where we will teach our girls everything from resume writing to branding, learning how to do an elevator speech, learning how to be their own advocates, spending a day on the Hill and learning how the civic process actually works in action, and really giving them all the tools that they need to be the next generation of leaders.
So that's, I mean, a lot more than cookies.
So much more than cookies.
So when you're selling the cookies, is there just an age? You say the older girls, you're doing programming for them. Are they selling cookies too?
They absolutely are. Yeah. Yes, they are. And when I tell you, and this will not come as a shock to you, but it will come as a shock to a lot of people because, quite frankly, no one told me this as a young Girl Scout because I would have sold more. But our older girls tend to set goals that are beyond your wildest imagination. They're setting goals to go abroad. We had a whole troop last year who set a goal to spend 2 weeks, a week in Paris and a week in London. And that's a lot of boxes of cookies to fund that trip for that troop of girls. And they absolutely blew it out of the water.
Wow. I think just seeing, you know, other troops and, you know, bringing each other up like that, I think with a lot of men typically, or like Boy Scouts, they are used to being on sports teams. They're used to having that camaraderie. I think having a combined goal, like going to Europe for 2 weeks, is that camaraderie we're often pegged against each other.
That's true.
So I think bringing each other together and achieving that combined goal, I think that's really powerful.
And remember, we talk about being a sister to every Girl Scout. Mm-hmm. So it really isn't that my friend over here sold more boxes or had a different opportunity. It's how can I support her to help make her even stronger?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of lessons that I really hope that our girls embrace and pay forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think when we talk about these tangible goals too, one of the things that we don't talk about enough in Girl Scouts is our high award program. Mm. And a lot of people don't recognize that we do have an honors program, much like the Boy Scouts Eagle Award. We have our bronze, silver, and gold awards. We start them early, and our girls come up with some projects that are just unbelievable. So when you're working on your bronze project, you're usually working together as a troop. So again, shared goals. Mm-hmm. We had a group, for example, identify a need inside their community to chip the animals because they did not have a clinic on site that was able to affordably chip the animals. And so they made that their collective troop bronze project. As they get older, they begin to do these projects on their own. So you have your silver and your gold award. Our gold awardees will blow your mind. We had a young lady who inserted and installed defibrillators and taught teachers and different staff members how to use the defibrillators because of an incident that she had watched her parent go through.
Oh, my gosh. How old is she?
17.
Wow.
Right. And
wow.
I wasn't thinking like that at the age of 17.
No.
We had another young lady who decided, you know, she had been very active in volunteering at homeless shelters and realized that most of the products that were being donated were not tailored for women for African American women. Our hair products sometimes need something a little bit different than Suave.
Yeah.
And so she set out to make her gold project a way for Black women to feel at that moment in that shelter that they weren't less than to collect these hair care products and hair care treatments to deliver to shelters so that when women face these horrible situations, the last thing that they're thinking of is being less than.
Yeah.
So having just the mind of these young women and understanding their communities around them and being able to say, I see a need and I'm going to go in and I'm going to tackle it, that's powerful. And that's what we don't talk about enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the, yes, you're teaching leadership, but you're also teaching them to be bigger than just themselves. That's right. And do you have children?
I have a son and a daughter. And my daughter is unfortunately and sadly my beta test. She she hates it. So she grew up inside the Girl Scouts. It's from the age of kindergarten. Typically what happens, and it's pretty sad, and why we have been focusing on older girls is you see the drop right at the age of 12 because it's no longer cool or there's sports. I mean, she plays soccer, so we're on a field 5 nights a week. So really trying to be much more intentional about that older girl programming. We were very fortunate in that we had an amazing troop leader who would, so I don't think I appreciated the amount of work because she would open a book and say, okay, you take this month, you take this month, you take this month. And we'd all go off and do our own little things and we'd come back together. And so it never felt like so much work for one person. And she loved it. Now, of course, the troop disbanded in the, again, ripe old age of 12 years old. Mm. And what's funny to me is that they're all still together as friends once a month, except for now they come together under the guise of Bible study. The only reason I put it in quotations is because I never giggled that much in my Bible study. So I'm
like, are you reading?
I'm not really sure what
you mean the Bible.
What passage they're in, because I don't think I had that much entertainment.
Yeah.
But what those bonds were so intense at such a young age that she's 14 now, almost 15, and that they're still together.
So did her time in the Girl Scouts ever have overlap with your time working at the Girl Scouts, or was it?
Only in the recent past.
Okay.
She's not happy about it. But so she is
Mom.
So she's back in the Girl Scouts now and
came full circle.
Came full circle and is now working on her high awards as well.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. So yeah, she was just before and you got her back in.
I got her back in.
Drew her back in.
And I think part of what you'll hear us talk about this year, and again, sports is such an important part of so many things. Mm. And so when we talk about women in sports, it's kind of the perfect storm of seeing all of these phenomenal women that are playing sports, that are leading sports teams, talking about being in a male-dominated environment. You know, they're CEO of the hockey team. They're, you know, athletic director at Vanderbilt. So they are doing some amazing things. And what we're doing this year is being very intentional to celebrate those leaders, show the opportunity to our girls as well, and marry the two to say it doesn't have to be sports or.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be Girl Scouts or, but that it can be Girl Scouts and. And so that's been our intentionality for this year.
That's awesome. Yeah. Rather than just, you know, I'm sure there's lots of projects and, you know, everything going on in the life of a young teen or a teenager. So to be able
to. If you want a 14-year-old, I've got one for you.
I'm okay. I barely take care of myself. So, but no, to be able to, you know, have both and kind of be able to manage that, I think is. I mean, probably teaches a lot of time management skills too.
Which is important because now we're in a world where we do have to juggle all of these different things. We have to learn what we can lean into and what we can't. And so I have an 18-year-old son as well. Watching them has been very different. He is very laid back. He is the kid that never studied and just showed up for a test. Yet watching her, she tries very hard. She's very organized. She's very diligent. She understands when she comes home, she has an hour to do her homework before she goes to practice. And watching those skills while giving her, I don't want to say the strength, but the I mean, I guess it is the strength. I can't think of a better word. Understanding that she has it, giving her that feeling, that confidence, that no matter what this world is going to throw at you, no matter how hard you think it is, you got it.
Yeah.
So just take a breath, and work through it.
Yeah, I think that applies to a lot of things.
Yeah. And I have to remind myself of that advice sometimes.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure. So I think we've covered pretty much a lot of what we wanted to cover, but is there something that we didn't cover that you want to share about the Girl Scouts that a lot of people don't know?
Well, I mean, I'd be remiss. A lot of the questions that we do get is, why Girl Scouts? Mm-hmm. Why not Scouting of America or whatever they've rebranded to now? And I'm not saying that to be flip. They quite literally went through a rebranding this year. I would say that we are a very different organization. And there's so few places that can feed into our young women the way that Girl Scouts can, that's why it's exciting to be here. All of the opportunities that are provided elsewhere, you can get that inside the Girl Scouts. And a lot of people don't know that. If you want to do archery, yes, you can do archery.
I did archery. I was terrible at it, but I did it.
I was pretty good at it, actually. We're actually starting a jousting program with our horses, which...
Oh, wow.
The lawyer in me is absolutely...
Is that safe?
I don't think that's a great idea. But pool noodles, I was told it was pool
okay,
noodles.
Good.
We are very intentional about not just providing experiences. I mean, we have one of the biggest horse camps in the whole Southeast.
Wow.
We have over 40 horses. Most
cool.
People don't know that. We do equestrian training for our girls. We actually have a very special show team troop that's what they do. So it quite literally is whatever you want to do, you can do. The other thing that I would mention that we haven't talked about is bringing Girl Scouts to girls versus looking for girls to come to Girl Scouts. And so what does that mean? We do have our outreach program, which, given my background, I'm incredibly passionate about. But those troops started in our Title I schools inside the city, and they are 100% grant funded. So another opportunity for people to volunteer is to serve as one of these outreach troop leaders. But once a week or once a month, depending on their curricula, they stay after school, and it's 100% grant funded. We bring the uniforms, we bring the curricula. Heck, we even have people driving around delivering the snacks so that we can bring Girl Scouts to an environment where girls would not have normally had that opportunity. We have expanded that program. And again, huge passion of mine over the course of the last year. We're now almost twice as many as we had last year. So 100% increase.
Wow.
So serving over 1,000 girls in that program. We're now have a great partnership with our Metro Housing Development Authority. So we're inside of housing communities with Metro Nashville Parks has been a great partner. And so we have troops at different community centers and parks across the city. The other thing that we also have is a program that we call Troop 6000. And that is a troop that, again, much like our outreach programs, we go in to housing communities for those girls who are at risk of homelessness. So we have great partnerships with the Salvation Army, with the Martha O'Brien Center, and many others. And again, for just that moment in time, so it's not what we would consider to be the traditional 10-month Girl Scouting experience. But for that moment in time, you take off all of the burdens of that family and you just give them the opportunity to be just that moment. And it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Our hope is that obviously when they leave that situation, that they continue in Girl Scouting. But if they don't, they've had an opportunity that they couldn't have gotten anywhere else.
Totally.
Really excited to keep growing that program across the counties.
Very powerful. Yeah. I think just being able to be a kid,
just
like figuring out what you are outside of all those outside factors.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's exciting work that you're doing. I'm sure sure it's exhausting, but I'm grateful that you're doing it because it means a lot to a lot of kids. So
it is, again, that calling of just being able to help our next generation, to give them just that courage and that power. We talk about the three C's inside of Girl Scouts: courage, confidence, and character. And I mean, to watch it play out every single day is is what continues to drive, I think, all of us inside the organization.
Yeah. When you love what you do.
When you love what you do.
I love that.
What are some resources people can tap into, websites, phone numbers, et cetera, emails? Like, where can people go if they want to learn more or help?
Yeah, I would say let's hit our website at gsmidtn.org. So Girl Scouts Middle Tennessee .org. And you can just search Girl Scouts Middle Tennessee and we pop up, and all of the resources are on our website. We would also encourage you to follow our Facebook or Instagram. We have lots of resources and you can see a lot of the actions that we're putting, a lot of the things that we're doing in the community. One of the most adorable, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word. I don't know that that's all that professional, but we do a Troop Tuesday spotlight. And so we find a different troop across our regions to highlight and to see some of the work that they're doing. So that's always
fun. They probably love to see that too, if, you know, see their troop featured on.
Those are usually our highest numbers of engagement. As a marketing person, you can appreciate that. Those are our highest levels of engagement.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I was a young girl and I saw my troop on the Girl Scouts of Middle Tennessee Instagram. I'd be like, oh my God, we're famous. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat a little bit about Girl Scouts of Middle Tennessee. It's been fascinating. I'm hoping we can do a part two. But thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.